You're listening to a podcast from the BBC World Service. This is Hard Talk with me, Stephen Sacker. Thanks for downloading this edition of the programme. I do hope you enjoy it. My guest today is a veteran of more than two decades of tortuous and fruitless Israeli-Palestinian negotiations. Madrid, Oslo, Camp David. The Secretary-General of the PLO, Saeb Erekat, has been there, done that. But despite all of the talking, the conflict remains as bitter as it ever was. And while the diplomatic track appears blocked, the situation on the ground shows signs of grave deterioration. A wave of stabbings of Jewish Israelis by young Palestinians has raised tensions dramatically. At least 11 Israelis and 70 Palestinians have been killed in recent weeks. Israel accuses the Palestinian authorities of fostering an atmosphere of hate-filled incitement and extremism. The Palestinians say the violence is a response to the intolerable conditions of occupation imposed on their people. It is a familiar exchange of accusation and counter-accusation. But all the while, the potential for a major escalation in the violence rises, and the Palestinian Authority seems unable or unwilling to defuse the situation. Well, I'm joined on the line from Ramallah by Saeb Erekat. Welcome to Hard Talk.
Thank you, Stephen.
Mr. Erekat, according to the Israelis, more than 40 Palestinians have been killed while in the process of committing attacks, acts of violence on Israeli Jewish people. They, the Israelis, call them terrorists. What do you call these attackers?
Well, I call them dead Palestinians who lost hope, who Netanyahu told them as young Palestinians, look, a Palestinian state is not going to be in my watch, not in my time. I'm going to deprive you of your future. I'm going to deprive you of any security for your jobs, for your lives. You're going to remain under my occupation. So, you know, desperation have led to this act. And, you know, once you take the hope outside the mind of people, what do you expect? I think Netanyahu should look in the mirror. I mean, the Prime Minister of Israel.
Well, we'll talk about Netanyahu's policies, but I really do want to focus for a moment on the Palestinians who are committing these acts and the reaction of the Palestinian society to those people. There are many officials inside the Palestinian Authority who have used the words heroes and martyrs about those young, mostly young people who've been wielding the knives and other weapons too. Do you use those words, heroes and martyrs?
Well, you know, these are our sons and our grandsons. And I really could care less what you want to call them or not call them, Stephen.
But it matters what you call them.
No, what matters is the question is why such people do such things. Who took the hope from their minds? Who's telling them in Israel that you have no hope and no future whatsoever? You know, Stephen, I don't condone violence. I don't condone the killing of civilians, given it Israelis or Palestinians. We have tried for 20 years to achieve peace. We have tried 20 years to achieve and restore hope in the minds of Palestinians and Israelis. And then came this Israeli government, Stephen, that destroyed the possibility of two-state solution, that destroyed hope in the minds of Palestinians. As a matter of fact, the Israeli Prime Minister is so proud in telling Palestinians, your state is not in my watch, not in my time. So please, Stephen, the question is, what if your sons were under Israeli occupation? What if they were deprived of their right to live, to have jobs, to have dignity, to have a future like you and your sons? What would you do? What would they do? This is the question. The question is that this occupation is the source of evil. This occupation is the source of desperation. And I condemn the continuation of this occupation. And I condemn those who tolerate and support this occupation. Because at the end of the day, we have Palestinians killed, we have Israeli killed, and the only answer to these killing fields out there is not by more violence. The answer is to provide for a solution of a Palestinian state to live side by side the state of Israel in peace and security on
the
1967
lines. Understood.
That's the
only
answer for this violence.
Your condemnation of the occupation is on the record. And you have just said to me that the only long-term solution has to be an Israel and a Palestinian state living side by side. If you are serious about that, you have to surely address the question right now of incitement. Because the Israeli public believes
that the Palestinian Authority, and certainly Hamas in Gaza as well, are allowing and creating an atmosphere where incitement thrives. You will know better than I that just a few days ago, the Israeli UN ambassador stood up at the UN. He brandished an instructional card that he said was circulating in Palestinian schools, which had a diagram and a title, How to Stab a Jew. How can that sort of thing be allowed to happen?
No, I'm not saying that we're free of incitement. I'm not saying that we're perfect. I'm not saying that we do everything in accordance with what we want to do or not to do. But, Stephen, you heard last week the Prime Minister of Israel absolving Adolf Hitler and blaming the genocide and the Holocaust and the most evil chapter in human history, which took place at the hands of the Nazis, on the Palestinians, which meant that this kind of incitement, he's telling Israelis, their prime minister, that you should hate Palestinians more than Nazis. It's the Israeli settlers 2 months ago who burned the family of Dawabshe, 18 months toddler, who burned Muhammad Abu Khdeir. You talk about this wave of violence. 74 Palestinians were killed and 2,200 Palestinians, 222 Palestinians were wounded. Homes are being demolished. People are being ethnically cleansed from their homes. People are losing their security in their homes, in their jobs, in their lives. This is our situation. This is how we live, Stephen. This is how we live.
Listen, it's my job. It's my job to challenge senior Israeli politicians, as I have been doing, on many of the issues that you've just raised. But my job with you is not to talk about what the Israelis are doing, because maybe many of my audience can guess what you think about that. My job with you is to challenge you on what the Palestinians are doing. And I come back to this question. Why are TV stations and radio stations in Palestinian territories appearing to encourage these stabbing attacks and to hail as heroes those who carry out these attacks? If the Palestinian Authority is to mean anything, you surely have to control the incitement.
Okay, I told you, Stephen, that we're not perfect. There may be some incitement, but you're telling me Palestinian TV and Israel TV and Palestine radio? These are our sons and our grandsons. We want them to live. We want them to have a future. I don't want my son to die. I want him to live. I don't want my son to be a suicide bomber, Stephen. But the point is, what you seem to challenge me with is that you want me to live and you want my son to live and my grandson to live under occupation, seeing his hope taken away, seeing his future taken away, seeing more settlements being planted in the supposed to be Palestinian state, seeing that there is no dignity and no future for us, and then you want people just to behave and say to the Israelis, oh, masters, you doing a good job with your settlements and dictations and the killing fields and the demolition of homes and the siege and the closure and using medical supplies and food supplies against the people in Gaza. This is what happens here. Stephen, if what Israel is doing is being done by any country on earth, believe me, no one will sleep in London or Washington or Berlin or Rome. No one will allow it to happen. This silence of yours in the West, this must stop. This tolerance to Israeli occupation, to Israeli policies, to Israeli war crimes being committed against the Palestinian people, this should stop.
But I'll tell you what.
We want to live. We want our grandchildren to live.
I hear your point.
That is the truth, Stephen. No father, no mother wants to bury their children. They love their children as much as you love your children.
But I'm trying to look at the situation.
It's been 48 years since this occupation came about. I was 12 years old when the Israeli occupation came to my hometown in Jericho.
Let me get a word in.
I'm 60 years old today with 6 grandchildren. This must stop. This occupation must stop. Let me get a word in, if I may.
It doesn't really matter whether you think that I'm demanding you condemn things or not. What I say to you doesn't really matter, but what matters a lot is how the international community is currently regarding the Palestinians. Angela Merkel, just the other day, said the Palestinians must condemn everything that constitutes support of terrorism. This is a key player in the international community, somebody that you want on your side. So it's nothing to do with me. People like Angela Merkel want to hear clear condemnation and resultant action from your Palestinian Authority to ensure that you are seen to be combating incitement.
Well, I'm sure that Madam Merkel, who I met many times and who I have the greatest respect with. She knows very well, as much as you do, Stephen, as much as Mr. Cameron, as much as Mr. Obama or Mr. Holland. They all know that we have recognized the state of Israel's right to exist in peace and security on 78% of historic Palestine. We have accommodated and want to live and let live. And she knows, Madam Merkel, she knows that the side that is obstructing the two-state solution and that's dictating more settlements and more dictations and more killing fields and more humiliation to Palestinians are the Israelis. I think Madam Merkel should condemn the policies of the Prime Minister of Israel, Bibi Netanyahu, not to condemn. We are defending ourselves while Israel is defending its occupation, while Israel is defending its settlement. Israel is not defending itself, Stephen. This is the message from me to all those who have some conscience, some values. We are defending our way of life. We are defending our children. We don't want them to die. And as I told you, I don't condone the killing of civilians, whether Israelis or Palestinians. But we need to get to the source of this situation.
Let me ask you a few questions. Otherwise, it won't really be an interview. You say the worst is yet to come. It seems to me that right now, in the territories, it is clear that yet again, Hamas is driving the agenda here. Talk to any Palestinian analyst of politics, and they will say that the current surge in violence is yet again playing into the political agenda of Hamas.
You know, Stephen, what's happening out there is very, very deep. I challenge any Palestinian, any political party, to say that we're organizing what's happening outside. Things are slipping outside our hands.
No, I'm not saying you are. I'm saying Hamas.
Believe me, I don't...
If you look at what is coming out of the mosques, if you listen to the Hamas political leadership, they want the violence to increase. They see political gain in turning this into, they call it the Intifada of Knives, into turning it into a full-scale Intifada.
Once again, Stephen, what's going out there is a very deep thing. It's a new development. I've never seen such developments before. All I'm telling you, that Palestinians are giving up on me, on people like me, on people who promised them. 20 years ago, who told them, I told my people, we stop violence. We don't use any act of violence. We recognize the state of Israel. We're going to get independence through negotiations. And they believed us. They gave us all the time in the world. For 23 years, what they're telling me now, we had 200,000 settlers in the year 1993. Today, Dr. Erekat, we have 600,000 settlers. That's the result of your peace process. Mm. That's the result of your negotiation.
Which is precisely,
So what's going out there is deeper than what you think, Stephen.
What you were saying is very... Hang on. I'm going to stop you,
The only way, if I may finish, the only way to begin a de-escalation and de-confliction program is by restoring hope in the minds of Palestinians.
What you are saying to me is both very interesting and it's very frank and it's full of passion. And I hear that passion. But what you essentially are saying to me is that you and Mahmoud Abbas and others lost. That Oslo is dead, that the two-state solution in the minds of most Palestinians has died. Isn't that it?
Stephen, it aches my heart to say yes. You know what? 23 years ago, President Mahmoud Abbas, myself, and many, many in the moderate Palestinian camps told Palestinians, please don't despair. You're not alone. We have to recognize the state of Israel, and we recognize the state of Israel. We have to renounce violence. We have to stop using violence. We have to use negotiations as the tool. And what have I delivered to these people 22 years later? As I told you, people see with their eyes 600,000 settlers in the supposed to be Palestinian state. Netanyahu has managed to succeed in destroying people like me, in making people like me, the moderates, the people who recognize the state of Israel, the people who want to live and let live, the people who want to save lives of Israelis and Palestinians. Yes, he won over us. He defeated us. He won with his camp of those who don't see us and refuse to see us. And they only see their occupation, their settlements, their dictation. And they believe that if they ignore facts, it could mean that doesn't exist. What exists today is that, Mr. Netanyahu, I hope that you're listening to me. Look in my eyes. Walk me through the day after. You managed to destroy the two-state solution. You managed to destroy hope. Does this bring you security or peace? Does this bring Israelis and Palestinians peace and security?
You know what?
What have you done? Where have you taken us? And to those,
well,
the
only
world, Europe, and
only
the
Netanyahu
States,
can answer those questions directly,
and I hope
to have an opportunity
Netanyahu
to put them to
as
him.
A prime minister above the laws of man. That's what they need to do now.
What I need to ask you is, given what you've just said to me, what are you going to do? You're not going to walk away. You've spent 23 years on this and you've never walked away, so I assume you're not going to walk away now. Mahmoud Abbas is 80 years old. You're appreciably younger. There is a question of where the Palestinian leadership goes from here. I've just looked at a poll done by one of the most respected Palestinian polling organizations. Nearly two-thirds of Palestinians want Mahmoud Abbas to resign. They do feel he has had his day. So what should the Palestinians do now? Are you interested in taking over the leadership? If not you, who? Because Palestine surely needs some new leadership.
I think we have a new leadership called the Israeli occupation. Mr. Netanyahu restarted and reestablished his occupying forces, his occupying power. They are all over. Stephen, I'm 60. And as you said, Abu Mazen is 80. Those Palestinians who belong 60 up, 60 plus, we are 4% of the population. 94% of the population are telling us, what have you brought us? You're right. You're right. I think it's time for us to take the decision. It's time to invite Mr. Netanyahu to take over because he's destroying the Palestinian Authority. He's destroying the two-state solution. He's destroying hope. And then you begin the question of telling me, why are these kids doing this? Why is this incitement? He destroyed everything. He destroyed hope. Once you destroy the future of people, once you destroy the future of young. Stephen, I have a 26% unemployment in the West Bank and East Jerusalem. I cannot compete with Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. You know Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi.
Yes,
Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, the thug and the horrible and the evil.
But
I agree with you. I should be defeated. He's promising these young desperate Arabs 70 virgins and castles. I cannot afford to promise a one-bedroom apartment. I cannot find a job because Netanyahu
but
has
that
destroyed
is precisely
any
his,
prospects
that is
for
precisely
peace
Mr.
or
Netanyahu's
prosperity
point.
For the
he says that there is real evidence that young Palestinians today are behaving in as radical and as extreme a fashion as so-called Islamic State. That's why he plays upon this notion of extraordinarily dangerous terror coming from your territories. And you're, in essence, saying, you know what? That is Palestine's only option.
No, sir, I'm not saying that, Stephen. I told you the only option is peace. Nobody benefits more from succeeding in peace more than Palestinians. And no one stands to lose more in the absence of peace more than Palestinians. It is 74 Palestinians, young people, 13 to 20 have been killed. More than 2,000 wounded, mostly maimed forever. No one stands to lose more in the absence of peace more than us, and that's the truth, Stephen. What I'm saying to Mr. Netanyahu, why? Now, you destroyed hope, you destroyed the two-state solution, you made more settlements than any other prime minister in the Israel of history. Sir, can you walk me through the day after?
Can you walk me through from the river Jordan to
the Mediterranean the day after?
We don't have much
see?
More time, and you have
do you
made
see
that
more
point.
Peace and more security and more prosperity? You just cannot. It's not in our DNA, as he says, that we want to kill and be killed and we love violence. We don't want this. We want to live and let live. We want to have good universities, good schools, good hospitals, good jobs, good prospects. We want our children to be the musicians, the physicians, the soccer players, just like your children.
Before we finish,
and please name things by their names. This occupation is the source of evil. This occupation is
we
the source.
We have heard this point from you many times.
Obama
I need to ask
Cameron,
you a couple more questions before we finish,
Daesh
if I may.
In the absence of drying the swamp of this Israeli occupation, stopping this Israeli occupation,
you can say the same thing many times,
but I think
our audience would like to hear a different question. This question is about the internationalization of the conflict. You personally have been a very, very keen advocate of using the UN route. You said, you know what, you know, the dialogue with the Israelis isn't working. We're now going to leverage whatever influence we can use at the United Nations, in the international community, to move this thing forward. You've made one big effort at the UN Security Council to try and get the Council to put a stamp on the two-state solution. The Saudi Arab plan, I think, was the basis of it. The Security Council rejected it. You've said in recent days you want to go back to the Security Council and try that route all over again. When are you going to acknowledge that that isn't going to work for you? The Security Council, the UN, they are not ever going to give you what you want.
Stephen, imagine if you were to be my son. If you were to be my son, who's 23 years old. And I'm telling you, I cannot get you independence through negotiations. I cannot get a Security Council resolution reiterating your right to a statehood or to freedom. I cannot get you to go to the to get an investigation committee from the International Human Rights Council to investigate what takes place on the ground. I cannot get you any hope whatsoever that one day you'll be free. Stephen, what would you do? What would you think? Because that's the real tragedy. That's
well, I'll
my
tell
dilemma.
You what I would think. Let me answer your question.
I could not do it through negotiations. I told Palestinians, Stephen, please allow me to finish. Please hear me. See me. Hear me. I was telling Palestinians, please don't despair. Don't use violence. We're going to go to the Security Council and get the resolution for a state. They closed the door in my face. We're going to go to the International Human Rights Council in Geneva and get an investigation committee. They closed the doors in our face. We're going to get you a state through negotiations. And Netanyahu closed the doors in my face.
Well, you asked me what I would think.
What
if, you,
do?
If you said that to me, you said, you know,
what
would I
think
say?
What I'm gonna do,
I would say this to you.
What I'm going to do, what I'm gonna do well, is once
on.
Again say that Netanyahu may succeed in destroying the two-state solution, but for Palestinians and Israelis, there is only one option. If not this year, next year, in 10 years' time, is to live and let live. It's a two-state solution. It's Palestine to live side by side, the state of Israel, in peace and security on the 1967 lines. That's the only option. I couldn't do it through the Security Council. I couldn't do it through negotiations, not because I failed, because I was foiled by the likes of Bibi Netanyahu.
I have interviewed you many times over many years. I have never heard you this bleak, this negative, this despairing. Is it all over for you?
You know, if I answer you in any way, I may cause more death. I just want to keep a ray of hope. I just want to keep a ray of hope. Because I know at the end of the day, violence will breed more violence. Violence is not the answer. I know that the answer is for someone in the international community to bring to the Security Council a resolution reiterating the two-state solution within a specific time frame, with an international conference, saying the state of Palestine to live side by side the state of Israel on the 1967 lines. Now, if people ask me, well, how come you failed? I could not deliver. That is the truth. Right. Now,
well, so
do I leave? I'm thinking about it. I'm seriously thinking about it, Stephen. I'm seriously thinking about it because there is much that I can take from my own family, from my own neighbors. I look them in the eyes. I was unable to deliver. And that is the truth.
Sai Berekat, thank you for being on Hard Talk.
That was an edition of Hard Talk presented by me, Stephen Sacker. For details of our complete range of podcasts and our terms of use, go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.